And now for something completely different.
It's a rich man's world. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal. The full story. The whole enchilada. The Lance Roberts Show. It's money, markets, life. Now, it's the Lance Roberts Show.
And welcome to this morning's edition of the Lance Roberts Show. It's Thursday. It's the pre-Friday edition of the show. And thank goodness this has been a week, and we're going to get to wrap this up pretty shortly. You know, it was interesting that yesterday the yield curve actually inverted, right? Now, remember on Tuesday, the yield curve was essentially at zero, and it didn't matter. See, we weren't in a recession yet, so, well, it doesn't matter, right? The yield curve's still positive. No recession in sight. Everything is great. Yesterday, the yield curve dropped slightly below zero. And now look, everyone can freak out now because the yield curve is now inverted, which means that a recession's right around the corner. Look, can we just stop for a second? Let's go back and talk a little bit about history. I've released a special report this morning on our website because everybody, we were just flooded with emails last night from people very concerned about this. The media has talking all about the, you know, the inversion of the yield curve and how recession is imminent now. And look, the yield curve has been inverting for a while. We just released a report about this on our website. We did it for our RIA Pro members, RIAPro.net. All of our subscribers there got it last night. We unlocked it this morning for everybody else. So if you go to our website, realinvestmentadvice.com, you can get this report. We go through a lot about what the yield curve is and importantly, what it means to the markets and what to do now, right? We've even included our 15 portfolio management rules to follow right now with your money because, again, a lot of really bad advice is coming out from a lot of the corners of the mainstream media. I got calls last night. I was like, well, we just buy and hold, right? No. This is not the time to buy and hold. Things are deteriorating, and they have been deteriorating now for, well, almost a year. Look, let's go back and talk a little bit about the yield curve for a second. Yesterday, everybody's all concerned that now the yield curve is inverted. In early 2018, we wrote an article why the bull market from 2009 had ended. And 18 months later, the markets have virtually gone nowhere. And economic growth has weakened, earnings have weakened. And in that meantime, the yield curve has been on a steady decline, telling you that there were problems with earnings and economic growth and the problems ultimately with the markets was coming. So this inversion of the yield curve is no surprise. This has been in a process now for quite some time. And again, yes, historically, every time the market has inverted, yes, there has been a recession in the economy. One of the bullish comments right now are simply that, well, by the time the yield curve inverts, it's still 22 months on average, or 14 months, depending on who does the analysis, until the recession sets in. Well, that's true from the standpoint that historically, though, GDP growth rates were substantially higher, about twice as high as they are now on average. So if it took 22 months originally, or 14 months originally on average, right, for the economy to go into recession following yield curve inversion, if the economic growth rate is half of what it was previously, which it is, that means you've got half the amount of time to get into a recession. Because again, it's how much time does it take for a market to go from 8% growth to zero versus 4% growth to zero, right? It's gonna take you half the time. So pay attention to what's going on here because this is important stuff, particularly comes to your job, family, money, those type of things, right? This is very important to what happens here. On a daily basis, the markets are oversold enough that we are likely going to get a bounce here in the next day or so. Now, the markets are going to be down again this morning because China has now retaliated back towards the U.S. They've basically vowed to retaliate against Trump and tariffs, etc. And that was just a function of time. They've been very patient up to this point. They haven't done anything really retaliatory other than just not buying the agricultural products that they said they would. But now China is about to ramp up the retaliation. This should not be a surprise. I told you this was coming months ago, that there was going to be a point to where they start pushing back, and they have plenty of levers to push back on that can really immediately impact the U.S. economy. China understands the fact that Trump is going into an election in just a bit over a year, and the worst case scenario for Trump going into a re-election cycle is a weak economy and a weak market. And China has all the tools necessary to directly impact those specific areas of the economy. and they have started that process now. So again, markets will be down again this morning, but again, on a short-term basis, the markets are oversold enough here that we're likely to get a bounce in the next day or two. Use that bounce to reduce risk, rebalance portfolios, and begin to start taking some money off the table. On a weekly basis, the markets are still very positive trending. We are still in a bull market, but we are starting to get signals on a weekly basis now. We're starting to stretch the time frame out a bit. On a weekly basis, those signals are starting to tell you the market is slowing down and there is risk building across the boards. On a monthly basis, it's the exact same story. In fact, on a monthly basis, we're now seeing signals occur that have very rarely occurred in history and normally only occur at the beginnings of much more major correctional processes in the markets. The same thing occurs on a quarterly basis as well. Historically, when we've seen extensions of the markets where they are now, the overbought conditions that we have now, and the process of the market that we have now combined with a late stage economic cycle, which is where we are now, where you have slowing economic growth, slowing earnings growth, slowing corporate profits, those have typically led and preceded much bigger corrective actions in the market as markets reprice value over that process. Historically speaking, a reversion back to a normal place in time, of course, of the long-term trend would be about a 53.7% correction in the market. So don't take this stuff lightly. This has a lot to do with where we are economically and what potentially is the outcome of that. And again, when you start talking about a market as extended and as processed as it is now, if you recur into a recession at this point with the amount of debt and leverage that we have in the cycle, of course, also talking about, we've talked about previously about the problem with pension debt, that's a $6 trillion liability there. When you start working through that process, a 53% correction is a very easy process to get to. But that's going to incur a lot of job losses, a lot of monetary loss, a lot of capital destruction. It's going to impact a lot of families across this country. So you want to make sure that you're prepared for that. You know, preserve your wealth, focus on risk, and make sure that you've got other stuff kind of tidied away just in case this does occur. If it doesn't happen, that's fine, right? But Noah, he didn't wait for the rain to start before he built the ark, right? So you want to plan for this stuff in advance. Be careful. Be aware of what you've got going on. Don't wait for it to occur. Don't wait for it to smack you in the face and then go, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because it'll be too late by then. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a lot of stuff to get into this morning. We'll talk about China. We're going to talk about trade. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. I've got my partner joining me at 6:30 this morning, Michael Leibowitz. We'll talk some more about the Fed. Will the Fed cut rates? How's the Fed going to respond? Lots of stuff to cover this morning, so stay tuned. More of the Lance Roberts Show coming up right after the break.
Get daily investment news you can use, delivered at the speed of the internet. Sign up for Lance's newsletter now at LanceRobertsShow.com.
Did last year's market declines cause you to lose sleep? If so, it's because you have more risk in your portfolio than you realize. And it's time to reevaluate your long-time investing strategy with RIA Advisors. Our disciplined approach can help eliminate unnecessary risk. We do that by having both a buy and sell discipline. Does your advisor do that? If you think it's time to work with an advisor who puts your interests first, it's time for real investment advice. RIA Advisors, 281-501-1791. RIAAdvisors.com.
Welcome back to the show at 6:17 this morning as we kind of get the day underway as we get ready to wrap up this week. And this will be a week that I think a lot of people will be like, thank God it's over with. So one of the ongoing issues, so we're just talking about the markets here just a second ago. Everybody's like freaking out yesterday. Yield curve goes inverted. CNBC headlines, yield curve inverts, economic recession imminent. You know, market crashes. And yeah, you know, look, this has been coming on here for a while, right? This is not a new thing.
And as we were talking about a second ago, the slope of the yield curve has been declining now for months, actually almost 2 years now, telling you that there's not only a problem economically speaking, but there's also problems earnings-wise, corporate-wise, et cetera. You look, interest rates are a reflection of economic growth, inflationary pressures. And of course, if you've got stronger economic growth, you're going to have stronger rates of inflation. Those go hand in hand. And so interest rates are a reflection of that. They're also a reflection of corporate quality, right? Corporate balance sheets. So, you know, the issue is that interest rates have been telling you for quite some time that the economy is not as strong as it appears on the surface. And we've had some extraordinary things that have come along that have supported economic growth, right? So we had three major hurricanes in late 2017 that and two major wildfires that provided for a big boost of fiscal spending that came in to help do all those repairs, right? You know, even here in Houston had to rebuild from Harvey. So that helps boost economic growth in the short term. But what interest rates were telling you is that that was an artificial boost. It wasn't something driven by actual demand, organic demand in the economy. Because if there's organic demand in the economy, then you would have the activity of demand for credit going up, and you would have more people wanting to access credit and build things, build property, plant, equipment. So capital expenditures have been declining. Productivity has been falling. So it tells you that there's something not actually quite right in the data. You take a look at the amount of expansion of debt that we've picked up on just the corporate side, as well as the household side, as well as the government side to basically fund things like stock buybacks that don't produce actual economic benefit. We've had a massive ramp up in corporate debt being used for doing stock repurchases now. And, of course, that certainly boosts the bottom line of companies. It makes their bottom line look good because we report things on a per-share basis. So if I reduce the number of shares outstanding, it makes it look like I'm making more money, but I'm really not making any more money. If we take a look at actual revenue growth, it's been very substandard, right? It's been very slow. And the reason that revenue growth is slow is because that's a function of what actually happens, you know, on the balance sheet side of the asset, right? So which is, you know, that's consumers actually going out there buying stuff. And that's been slow relative to the rate of growth and profitability. So interest rates have been telling you this if you just have been paying attention. And this is why, you know, over the last really 4 or 5 years now, I've been writing article after article after article talking about why rates are going to go to zero, why rates can't rise. And, of course, look, you had the biggies coming out, right? You had Bill Gross and Jeff Gundlach saying, Jamie Dimon over at J.P. Morgan saying, oh, interest rates, they got to go to 5%. We got this booming economy. Interest rates have to go to 5%. And I was like, no, they're not, because you have too much debt in the system. As soon as interest rates go up much, you're going to impact consumption. The world's going to end, and rates are going to come back down again. We got 3.25%. Housing ended. Auto sales ended, and rates came back down again. And this is where we've stuck ourselves into this problem. Now we've launched this whole trade war with China, which was a false narrative to begin with. We've talked about this before, which is that we export inflation to import deflation. We export the cost of labor primarily, because that's the highest cost of building any product. So if you're going to export your job so you can get cheap product, then don't complain about it down the road when China has all the jobs, or Vietnam or Korea or some other country has all the jobs, because they'll work cheaper. They don't demand $15 an hour minimum wage plus benefits plus a 401k plan plus healthcare and dental. You know, that's what we all want right here. We go to a company and they say, I'd like a job. They say, great, I'll pay you, you know, $15 an hour. Great. What else do I get? In other countries, they go, I'd like to have a job. They go, we'll pay you $2 an hour and we'll kick you in the head. You go, great, I love it. I'll take the job. You know, it's a different mentality. Their living standard is different. Their expectations for living standard are vastly different than ours, but they are willing to work for substantially lower wages, and they will show up to work. They also don't require two weeks of vacation and personal time off and maternity leave and paternity leave and this leave and that leave. That's why we export our jobs. If you want to get them back, you've got to level the playing field, not on the tax rate basis. You've got to level the playing field on the wage basis. Okay, but China's unfair, right? So China, they don't play by the rules, darn it. Okay, great, no problem. Let's take all the jobs out of China and let's move them over to Vietnam or Singapore or Malaysia or Africa. You know, pick another country. You're going to have the same problem there down the road. Their living standards are going to come up. They're going to realize what they have access to. And we're going to have the same argument with whatever other country we move all of our jobs to. China just happens to be the whipping boy at the moment. But it's going to be whatever country comes next. Trump's even actually already shot that cannonball over the front, because he's already talked about, you know, Japan has an unfair trade advantage. Vietnam has an unfair trade advantage. Yeah, because they'll work cheaper. It's only unfair when you want to demand something that you're not worth. We talked about minimum wage before. There is no minimum wage. Your minimum wage is zero. Your minimum wage is what you are worth when you show up to do your job. So when you start demanding higher wages, higher benefits, all these other things, those have to be inputted into the cost of the product that's sold. We can't manufacture cheaply in the United States anymore. This is why manufacturing only makes up 20% of our economy now. The other 80% are Uber drivers and Grubhubs. Services make up 80% of our economy. Services have a low multiplier effect of economic growth, unlike manufacturing, which has a very high multiplier in the economy. So the problem is that now we've picked this trade war, and we're now imputing higher cost upon products and services being sold back into the U.S. Yes, China is under a tremendous amount of pressure because of these tariffs. They don't care. See, this is the big misnomer, is that, you know, China's going to buckle just any moment now because of these tariffs. They're getting crushed. They don't care. They will suffer as long as they need to suffer to win the war. And of course, they have, as I said in the opening segment, they have a tremendous ability to very specifically target. This is one of the problems that we have, you know, picking a trade war with China, who are a major supplier of the things that consumers use on a daily basis. iPhones, iPads, computers, technology, those things. China has the ability to very directly target and impact the main sole driver of the U.S. economy, which is the consumer. So it's only a function of time. So President Trump made a mistake when he started trying to demand that China buy more agricultural products. China steps back and go, oh, they want us to buy more agricultural products. That must mean that that's important to Mr. Trump. Well, yeah, agricultural farmers, the Rust Belt states were the big supporters of Trump in the last election. If I want to hurt Trump, what's the best way to do it? I won't buy the agricultural products. In fact, we'll just shut off all the imports together. We'll just impact the one area that has the most direct impact on a negative basis towards Trump and his reelection. He wants to import more penalties on us in terms of tariffs on goods. No problem at all. We can go after the one thing that consumers want the most: iPhones, iPads, computers, technology, phones. Phones are already expensive. Wait till you go to upgrade your phone and it's, you know, $4,000. So this is the problem with picking a fight with somebody you've already outsourced the most important thing to an economy of, is, which is your manufacturing base. We talked about yesterday, I'm writing an article. I actually had an article written for today on the trade war. It's called Dead Man Walking. I'm going to release it next week on Monday. But the Chinese press is running rampant, building national support for President Xi. Remember, President Xi does not have a term. He's in for life. Versus Donald Trump, who's in for maximum 4 more years after the next election. The national press propaganda machine is building national support for President Xi to weather the storm. See, this is the risk, right? One day after the Chinese press roundly mocked Trump's unsolicited tariff delay as proof the U.S. was losing the trade war with China, the Global Times saying that Chinese experts say the sudden postponing of impending tariffs showed the maximum pressure tactics of the U.S. are losing their bite when it comes to China. Problem now is that the amount China has left, USD about $10 billion already imposed on this, is not much ammunition, and they're right. The national press in China is rallying support behind President Xi to withstand the fight as long as they need to. So this is not, and as I've told you before, this is not a war that, A, you're going to win, and you're not going to settle anytime soon. This is going to continue to drag out, continue to impact corporate profitability, and continue to impact consumers when they go to buy goods and services. This is a war that's going to last for a while, and it's going to have an impact to markets and your money. Be right back after the break.
Lance Roberts Blog. It's required reading for the informed investor. Catch it today on LanceRobertsShow.com.
The new professional version of Real Investment Advice is RIA Pro, and it's loaded with the Lance Roberts proprietary stock and ETF analysis and all of the critical investment information you need, all in one place. And now you can try it out for free for 30 days. Subscribe now at RealInvestmentAdvice.com. Click on the RIA Pro tab and use the coupon code PRO30. That's RealInvestmentAdvice.com. Click on the RIA Pro tab and get 30 days free with coupon code PRO30. RIA Pro.
And welcome back to the show this morning. It is 6:34. Joining me right now is Michael Leibowitz, certified financial analyst, also co-portfolio manager at RIA Advisors. So, Mike, just for the break, we were talking a little bit about China, the whole issue with China trade. Of course, we were talking about the fact that, you know, so it's so funny is that, you know, on Tuesday, the yield curve was 0.02 basis points above zero. I mean, just fractionally no different than zero on a statistical basis. But yet everything was fine. No recession in sight. The yield curve's not inverted, so nothing to worry about for investors. Yesterday, we have a slight inversion of the yield curve, and everybody's freaking out, man. So it's, you know, look, this is kind of, you know, the problem with the headline. You know, the media is like they're trying to find a headline to justify. You know, the thing is, you and I have been talking about the risk here to the markets for a while. You know, because of trade, because of what's happening with corporate profits, what's happening with earnings, nothing has really changed much here. Winter is coming. It's just a function of when it gets here, right? And, you know, the question now becomes, though, is what should investors be looking to do here? What are kind of your views? What are you looking at?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is, like, look, we've been talking about the yield curve for months. And everyone's been yawning. And a lot of people have. It's not just us, right? So it finally went negative. And now the media explains yesterday's loss because of the yield curve. The problem with that is, and you know, there are many reasons the market was down, but the yield curve was not one of them. The yield curve dropped one or two basis points, which in the grand scheme of things is nothing.
Right.
But it awoke a lot of investors to the fact that maybe a recession is probable. Right. They a lot of investors don't pay attention to the yield curve. And now splash, not just CNBC and Wall Street Journal, but across a lot of major newspapers that tend not to be business oriented, are headlines such as market declines rapidly due to yield curve inversion or due to yields.
Right.
So you have woken up the public to the idea that there can be a recession, which will now make markets a little more volatile. When we have crummy economic data coming out, they will be a little more on guard. They will be, wow, maybe we are going to have a recession. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know the market didn't fall yesterday because of the yield curve inversion, but they may have just created a little more anxiety among investors. So what should investors do? What they should have been doing for the last 5 months as the yield curve was flattening and telling us a recession was becoming more and more probable, and getting to a position where they're comfortable, where they can have a day like yesterday and not freak out.
Right. Well, and again, you know, we've talked about this before about, you know, limiting risk in portfolios and repositioning things. And we've been doing this in our portfolios as well. You know, we've been adding in gold earlier this year as a hedge against, you know, some of these potential issues. And, you know, it was a good example. The market was down 3%. The portfolio was down about 1%. You know, so when you have a much reduced level of volatility, you're able to kind of withstand these things and make more rational decisions about what we're going to do. And of course, we just released a report that we had put out to our RIA Pro subscribers yesterday. We unlocked that this morning, released it to everybody on our website at realinvestmentadvice.com, talking about the fact that the markets are oversold here. We're likely due for a bounce. We're probably going to get one today, I would imagine, maybe even in tomorrow. But whatever rally that we get over the next few days is likely to be just a sellable rally. We're not going to likely make runs back to all-time highs. There's a lot of other things going on here. With the economy outside the yield curve. The yield curve is just a reflection of what's happening in the economy. And that's why everybody all of a sudden focused on it. It's like, oh, wait, maybe things aren't as good as everybody says. You know, everybody's been telling me the economy is as strong as a horse, but maybe it's not. The yield curve just went negative. We've been telling you this for months, is that the economic data really doesn't tell you what's happening in the actual economy. There's a lot of sub-data that actually tells you what's going on. Freight shipments, rail shipments, these type of things have all been declining sharply. Commodity prices have been declining. Energy prices, great example. Energy prices have a very, very high correlation to the direction and trend of overall economic growth, and oil prices have been dropping for the last several months. The data has been there. We've just been ignoring it.
And the global data has been much worse. Yeah. The U.S. has been faring much better, but in Europe, China, we've seen market slowdowns. Germany is most likely in a recession. We won't know until the end of next quarter because you have to have two negative quarters in a row, but they just had their first negative quarter. Every report coming out of China is very bad. Unfortunately, we don't know exactly what their growth is because the data itself is manipulated by the government to look very smooth. Mm-hmm. But based on the data, it's clear they're clearly not running at 6.5-7% growth.
Right.
And that has a huge effect on the world and the U.S. And that is slowly working its way here, despite the fact that our economy is still hanging in there. But there are these signs of slowing down. And just last week, we saw signs that the service sector for the first time maybe slowing down a little. And that was one of the bright spots of the economy that was helping it push ahead. So we'll keep a closer eye on the service sector to see if it's a one-month blip or if there's something more to it.
You know, and I was talking about that earlier today is on the show is that, you know, historically, when we look at GDP, you know, 80% of the economy used to be manufacturing. Only 20% of the economy is manufacturing today. It's now, you know, 80% of its services. So, you know, people driving Ubers and Lyfts and Grubhubs and these type of things. And the things that we buy, we do a lot of stuff based on services now, which have a lower multiplier effect for the economy. But I guess my real question here is GDP, the way we calculate it now, actually capturing what's happening in the real economy? You know, yeah, you can have a service-based society, which is fine, but somebody's got to produce those products. And unfortunately, we've shipped that out to other countries. But does GDP actually and accurately capture, you know, really what's happening in the economy?
No. And you can't really accurately capture it, right? Just like inflation, you can't capture inflation. You live in Houston. I live outside of Washington, D.C. We have very different spending habits. How can you possibly say that inflation is 2.2% for everyone when your inflation in Houston and my inflation up here in D.C. and the way what I spend money on, what you spend money on are two different things?
Right. Oh no, it's very true, and this is a bit of the problem that we have is, you know, with economic data and trying to pin most of our decisions on, you know, day to day, month to month reports, because most of those reports are meaningless. There's going to be major revisions to those reports in the future, which by the time the reports are revised and they go, oh yeah, the recession started 6 months ago, it won't matter. You will already lost a tremendous amount of money, your job, whatever else that's involved in that, because, you know, what happens before the data is reported is going to show up on a personal level very quickly. This is why we warn about these things.
Right. But here's what we do know, Lance. We do know that corporate profits are real. Right. They are fooled around with, but at a core level, the government puts out corporate profits for not just the S&P 500, but every corporation. And they just put it out, 2 weeks ago, and showed that corporate profits are the same level today as they were about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's an indication that there really hasn't been much economic growth.
Right. It's a good point. Let's switch gears real quick and talk a bit about China, because, you know, obviously that was the headline yesterday. And you're right about the – it's interesting. I got home last night and I was watching TV with my wife a little bit right before bed. And you know, the local news channel, right, the headlines on the local news channel, which is usually just about, you know, who committed what crime around what corner, you know, headlines splashing everywhere. Yield curve says, you know, a recession's coming. They had every, you know, local expert on, you know, on the station,
right,
you know, talking about this recession issue. And again, they were all pointing fingers back at China, saying, well, this is all China's fault. The problem is that this trade war that we've gotten into is beginning to weigh on corporate profitability. And a function of time is that, you know, we just increased tariffs on a lot of these goods in June. That hasn't really even filtered through yet into the third quarter, which will be starting reporting in October. We're going to see the impact of that increase in tariffs. And then we're talking about now adding more tariffs. You know, the problem with the tariff war is eventually China's going to retaliate. There was some rumors and there was some discussion of that by China this morning. They've already kind of started the process of not buying agricultural products, but there's a lot of other areas that China can target. So when we come back from the break, I'd like to get your views on the trade war, kind of where we are, kind of what happens next. And then we'll kind of wrap up the show as well, talk about what investors need to be doing now that this has occurred. Don't go away. More of the Lance Roberts Show with Michael Leibowitz coming right up after the break.
Want a longer talk with Lance about your money? Request a personal one-on-one at LanceRobertsShow.com.
Did last year's market declines cause you to lose sleep? If so, it's because you have more risk in your portfolio than you realize. And it's time to reevaluate your long-time investing strategy with RIA Advisors. Our disciplined approach can help eliminate unnecessary risk. We do that by having both a buy and sell discipline. Does your advisor do that? If you think it's time to work with an advisor who puts your interests first, it's time for real investment advice. RIA Advisors, 281-501-1791. RIAadvisors.com.
Welcome back to the show this morning. I'm your host, Lance Roberts. You're listening to the Lance Roberts Show here. RealInvestmentAdvice.com is our website, and we have a special report we unlocked this morning talking about the yield curve, and more importantly, what's happening with the markets right now and what you should be looking for next. And the markets are oversold on a very short-term basis, so look for a rally. But that rally is a sellable rally, as we have seen over the last several weeks. Take opportunities to rebalance risk. The longer-term signals are also all now turning negative, which have typically preceded bigger corrections in the markets. And there's a lot of evidence suggesting that we are at the end of this bull market cycle for a lot of reasons. But, Mike, let's pick up where we left off a little bit just for the break. Get by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. You can get the latest report and send us questions, comments. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this Saturday at our office, we're having an emergency right lane retirement workshop. We talked about this yesterday. Because of all this that's going on, a lot of people are trying to retire right now, trying to figure out now what's, you know, you're trying to retire and this is happening. We're actually holding a right lane retirement workshop this weekend to talk specifically about this. 2-hour class starts at 9:00 here at our offices. If you want to come, love to have you. We've got a few seats available. It almost filled up yesterday. But just go by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com, click on the events tab and get registered and come. We'll feed you breakfast as well. We'll take care of you. But we're going to have a 2-hour class talking about Medicare, Social Security, how to plan and how to deal with volatility in markets as you get ready to retire. Okay. That's Saturday at 9, website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Okay. Mike, where are we?
Still here.
Okay. So, yeah, we talked a little bit. Go ahead.
I brought you a little present.
Okay.
your radio listeners can't hear it, but if you watch us on a podcast, you can see it. And it's the headline from the Washington Post this morning. Markets sink on recession signal. Again, this is the Washington Post, which tends not to be business oriented like the Wall Street Journal or Bloomberg.
Right.
And that's the front. That's the top. That's the lead article right below where it says the Washington Post in big letters. So that is going to get the attention of many mainstream investors that just don't know what a yield curve even is, mm-hmm. or, you know, what yields real, what treasury yields are.
Right.
And they've, like I've said, they've awoken the public to some degree.
So there's an interesting byline to this, right? Which is that consumer sentiment is the driver of, you know, people kind of opening up their wallets, right? I feel confident. Right. I feel good. I'm going to go buy some stuff, right? Because my job's safe. I got an income paycheck coming in. And this has been one of the big, you know, positions for the Federal Reserve over the course of really the last 10 years, which has been to continually come out, talk about how great the economy is, despite the fact they were doing emergency measures to help prop up the economy. The economy is doing great, but we're going to keep interest rates low and we're still going to do QE, these type of things, because it was all about consumer confidence, making people feel good so they go out and spend. The question is now, does this become a, you know, with the media, you know, splashing this on every front page, you're absolutely right. Consumers are going to go, what? Oh, man, this may not be, maybe I better postpone that vacation I was planning on taking, or, you know, maybe I better put off buying that new car or buying that new house, because if we're about to be in a recession, I might lose my job. I mean, this could actually accelerate the slowdown in economic growth, right?
Right. I mean, it's just as simple as, hey, let's not go out to dinner tonight. Let's just make dinner in the house, or let's avoid doing this little thing or that little thing. And it may not seem like a lot, but negative 1 or 2% growth is a recession. Positive 1 or 2% growth is not a recession.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a very little to create a recession. And we've talked about this, that we're kind of in a window for a possible recession, right? We don't have more fiscal stimulus. We don't have spending for the hurricanes, for the fires. We don't have the tax cuts helping us anymore. We have global growth that's slowing us down. We have other issues, and our natural growth rate is only 1.5 to 2%. So it doesn't take much to get that 1.5 to 2 down to zero or negative. And, you know, if you would have asked us a month or two ago, what's it going to be? What could cause us to go into a recession? I'm not sure either one of us would have said, because the yield curve inverted one day after it was slightly not inverted the next day. But it's just that change in human psychology that can happen on a dime. It's very hard to predict.
Mm-hmm.
And if a couple less people go out to dinner tonight, or a couple less people don't go to the beach this weekend, that starts having an effect that can push us into a recession.
Yeah, no, exactly. Look, you know, we were joking offline, but I think you're absolutely right. Let's give everybody a warning right now of something incredibly important that's coming up. Right around the middle of December, winter will start. So, you know, it's going to happen. So, you know, be prepared for this, right? Don't wake up one day and then say, oh, my God, winter's here.
Right. We were talking about this. Winter starts on December 21st. Lance and I have been telling you, and other people have been telling you in September and October, that we're getting a little closer to December 21st, that it's September, you know, that it's August, it's September, it's October. And it was December 20th yesterday. Now it's December 21st and winter's here. We all knew this was coming.
Right.
You know, we were only a few basis points from not being from being inverted. So it's kind of crazy, but that seems to be something that is really perking up in the media. That is the narrative of why the market is selling off. And the yield curve will keep inverting, and the market will probably keep selling off until the Fed becomes much more aggressive in the way that they speak and ultimately the way they act to lower rates.
Yeah. Now, this is something that's critically important about the yield curve. And this is what the media has wrong. So your article right there, Washington Post, you know, yield curve, recession's coming. An inverted yield curve is not recessionary as an indicator. It's when the yield curve inverts and then uninverts, that is typically when the recession actually starts. So the inversion of the yield curve starts the countdown towards recession, but the thing to watch as investors is for a very rapid, it'll happen very, very quickly, but the yield curve will uninvert. And that's when the recession starts. Now, Mike, explain why the yield curve is going to uninvert very, very rapidly when the recession starts.
So the way to think about it is we typically look at the yield curve as a 2-year treasury bond and a 10-year treasury bond. Mm-hmm. And the 10-year bond tends to waver with the growth rate, with the inflation rate. So longer term investors are saying, wait, we're concerned that growth is really slowing down, and they're buying bonds. At the same time, short term investors, that rate is very heavily tied to what the Fed is going to do. And what they're saying now is, look, the Fed told us this is just a mid-cycle correction. Maybe they'll go one or two more times, but they have no intention of dropping rates significantly. So the front end of the curve, the 2-year, even shorter 1-year, 3-month bills are kind of tied. They don't have much room to go. But at the same time, we're seeing 10 years dropping every day. So until the Fed can loosen the reins and saying, yes, we intend to drop rates significantly, the curve will keep inverting. But when the Fed starts being more aggressive, the front end of the curve, so the 2 years, the 1 years, will drop like a rock in yield, which will then have the effect of steepening the curve. 10 years may continue to fall, but 2 years will fall at a much faster rate. And like you said, Lance, mm-hmm. that is the true recession sign. It's after an inversion, or even after a curve gets very flat and it starts rapidly steepening.
Right.
That's the time to watch out.
Yeah. And again, another part of that too is, you know, rates are ultimately driven by demand, right? So it's people buying bonds. And when that yield curve begins to rapidly uninvert because the 1 years, the 2 years are falling very sharply in yield, 10 years are still falling, just not as fast, it's because money's shifting out of risk assets like stocks into safety of money market. And we're not even talking about buying bonds, but your 1 years, your 6-month bills, those type of things, that's what's driving your money market rates. And so as money starts flooding into money market, you're going to see that demand for those bonds pushing yields dramatically lower very rapidly. And then, of course, that's when you're going to be right in the midst of this big market meltdown that you don't want to be in. So the reason we're telling you this, we're not trying to scare you into going, oh my God, I need to go sell everything today. We're not saying that. We are saying that the market's probably going to bounce here. If you read the report today, very important, it's on the website, read the report. We're still in a bullish trend. The markets are down about 7% from their all-time highs, right? It's not a big correction here. This is just a normal correction within a bull market trend. The trend is still positive. We are very oversold on a short-term basis. You're going to get a rally. When you get that rally, though, this is what Mike and I are telling you. Pay attention to your money. Take some opportunity. Take some risk off the table. Think about rebalancing risk. Think about what potentially could come. And if the worst case doesn't happen, big deal. You're in a good shape. You simply put your money back to work. But if you ignore the risk and then ride the market down 30, 40%, you're going to spend all of the next bull market cycle, instead of making money with it, just trying to get back to even. And that's not investing. And that's all Mike and I, we're not trying to scare you in anything. That's not the importance of this. What the importance that Mike and I are trying to explain to you is how this stuff works, so you can make some better decisions between you and your advisor about managing your money. And if your advisor is telling you just to buy and hold, that's fine. It's just not going to work out well for you. And again, you're going to spend the next opportunity of making money, which is going to be the next bull market cycle, just getting back to even. And that doesn't work for a lot of people, you know, heading into retirement. Mike?
Yeah, your seminar this weekend is something about the right lane in retirement, right?
Right.
I think that's the right advice. Move over to the right lane. There's a lot of risk over there in the left and middle lane. Take it easy. Go a little bit slower. Be a little more aware. Stay in the right lane. Let's see what happens. We are still in a bull market trend. That hasn't ended yet. But just take it easy. Maybe sit in the right lane for a little while. Let this yield curve thing pass. Let China trade pass. And then you can move back over if you think it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Or it may turn out that the right lane was the right place to be.
Right, because you can exit out of the right lane. You can't exit out of the left.
Exactly.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the time today very much. As always, Mike Leibowitz, CFA. He's also our portfolio manager for RIA Advisors. Thanks, buddy. We'll catch you next time.
Yep.
Be sure and get by the website today, realinvestmentadvice.com. Get our latest report. It's out. It's our special reports unlocked. We did it for our RIA Pro subscribers, riapro.net. Where we provide our live portfolios, et cetera, for do-it-yourself investors. But we released this report yesterday to them to explain to them kind of what to do. It includes our 15 portfolio management rules that we follow. It's on the website now. Simply go by realinvestmentadvice.com. And make sure to get registered for the Right Lane Retirement Workshop. That's our emergency session we're having this Saturday at our office. There's only a few seats available left. So if you want to come, we'd love to have you. But get signed up now. Go by the website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Click on the events tab. Look, don't freak out over the inverted yield curve, right? It's not the end of the world, but it is something to pay attention to. And we'll certainly keep you updated right here at Real Investment Advice. Have a great day. Money, money, money. Always Sunday in the rich bastard.